Hello, everyone. I'm Laura Kaluger, Senior Editor with CPE, and I'm glad to host another episode of our quarterly podcast series on occupier and investor sentiment in real estate markets around the globe. As you know, this is a podcast series created in partnership with the Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors in London. In the second quarter of the year, the Global Property Sentiment Index edged back, and economist Jerome Parsons is here to tell us all about the main reasons causing uncertainty in the real estate market. Welcome, Jerome.
Hi, Laura.
So what is the general idea that stems from the latest report? How much has the Global Property Sentiment Index edged back? And what does that mean for where the economy could be headed?
I think it does seem that perhaps we're at a turning point now. Certainly at the global level, many of the indicators from the survey are pointing to momentum slowing and slowing quite considerably through the second quarter of the year. That is quite a sudden change from last quarter. It was only the Q1 results that we were still capturing a bit of an acceleration across occupier and investor demand metrics in some key markets. But I think the gloomier kind of global economic outlook, rampant inflation and higher interest rates has finally caught up to the market. I think the realization has set in that interest rates are likely to rise by a much greater degree than was perhaps anticipated at the end of last year. So many commentators back then were describing inflation as kind of transitory, but it's certainly been very persistent up until now. And so it looks like, on top of some already noteworthy moves in interest rates over recent months, more tightening is going to be required. And I think that's now setting in across market sentiment.
And how do professionals across the globe perceive the real estate market today? Are more of them seeing the early or mid phase of a downturn? Where are the most pessimistic respondents?
Yeah, I think the most telling statistic from our latest survey round is that almost 50% of respondents globally feel the property market has now entered a downturn. That's a significant jump on around 25% who held that view last time. And that's true for Asia Pacific, Europe, and the Americas. So a very widespread view. Now, if I had to pick out an area where respondents are perhaps most pessimistic, you could argue that that would be Europe at this stage. If you look at the data on capital value expectations across some large markets throughout Europe, such as Germany and France, these expectations have now turned a kind of outright negative for the coming 12 months. Now, whether that comes to fruition, that remains to be seen, but certainly the mood amongst respondents has become much more cautious in parts of Europe. Asia Pacific is also still quite subdued, although that doesn't mark as much of a change between the quarters as the region was kind of already struggling against the impact of COVID outbreaks and especially patchy economic growth from China.
Let's focus a bit on global occupier demand by sector. What does the feedback show when it comes to office and industrial assets around the world?
Industrials remain very much the outperformer in terms of demand growth from occupiers, although it must be said that even in this sector, some of the buoyancy seems to be fading. But still, our measures of demand remain going to generally firm at this stage, but they are more moderate than the types of readings we were getting last year. For the office sector, well, you know, we've seen a bit of a recovery coming through. That was very much the story last quarter, but in truth, at both the global level and across many nations, it's very kind of stop start. It's very inconsistent, and so this quarter's results suggest the latest trend has been more or less flat. So obviously, the structural shift of working from home during and following the pandemic is still weighing on the outlook to a certain degree, but I think it seems more general macroeconomic concerns are also now taking their toll and stifling the recovery that was coming through.
At the same time, the survey shows that investment activity is also slowing down. What does this shift mean? How cautious have investors become?
I think a significant part of the story here, I feel, is what's happening to credit conditions or credit availability, you know, amid this backdrop of rising interest rates from policymakers. So we have a series within the survey on credit conditions that we track, and this has turned very sharply negative during Q2, which obviously is understandable given what's going on. But this series is particularly well correlated with investment inquiries. Now, it's not a one-for-one relationship, but if you were to imagine that this credit conditions metric is going to remain negative over the coming quarters, which would be, you know, a reasonable assumption in an environment where monetary policy is tightening, I think then it's difficult to envisage on the back of this a scenario in which investor demand doesn't follow, you know, a broadly or a loosely kind of similar pattern at the global level. And so I think it looks likely that we could be in for a period of weakening investor demand and weaker investment flows going forward, and that would of course kind of concur with the data on property cycle perceptions.
And are there any significant changes when it comes to valuations? How do most respondents describe their local markets?
Yeah, there has been an increase in the share of respondents globally who sense valuations are expensive relative to kind of fundamentals, and perhaps that is another indication of the turning kind of economic backdrop. But now we have 56% of our survey participants worldwide feel the market is above what may be deemed kind of fair value. So that's up from, it was 48% last quarter, but really interestingly, that is in fact the highest share that we've seen since we started collecting data on the subject back in 2015. So I think obviously with extraordinarily loose monetary policy that's been in place ever since the aftermath of the global financial crisis, central banks have launched several rounds of QE programs. We have to acknowledge that that has played a significant part in driving up commercial property valuations over the past 10 years. Now we're looking at interest rates rising, bond yields are also rising, and although it's not an exact relationship between the two, any further tightening in monetary policy is just going to add pressure in that regard and make property valuations seem increasingly stretched.
And when talking about specific regions, APAC stands out due to the mixed picture. How much do respondents' views differ in this region?
Yeah, Asia Pacific really does stand out as being a particularly mixed bag when it comes to the trends that have been reported across individual markets within the region. You know, you have on the weaker end of the scale, the results across China, they're pretty downbeat. Occupier and investor demand are still falling, and expectations for capital values and for rental growth remain negative across most sectors. But then, you know, in real contrast to this, markets such as India are really defying the general global trend that I've spoken about. And India has actually seen an uplift in our metrics on activity, so a strengthening across the market, along with an improvement in forward-looking measures as well. And Singapore this quarter also would be an example of where we've seen an acceleration, you know, moving in an opposite direction, it seems, to the broader global story. So as I say, a mixed set of results across Asia Pacific, but the aggregates are of course still downbeat because of the size of the Chinese market, but there are some examples of stronger performing nations elsewhere.
And what did the results of the latest survey suggest for Europe? In the previous surveys, it seemed that the feedback was strengthening, but that's not the case anymore, as you previously mentioned. Is the continent entering or nearing a downturn?
Yes, the European results are much more downbeat or cautious this time around. I think a majority of respondents do feel the market is in a downturn at the aggregate level. And as also said, the capital value expectations are negative in key markets such as France and Germany. So actually pointing to a decline in values at the all sector level over the next 12 months. I think really the story here is that although there are worries about the economic backdrop in so many parts of the world at this point in time, I think these concerns are perhaps most pronounced, most exaggerated in Europe. The war in Ukraine and, you know, the associated sanctions on Russia are probably harming economic activity across Europe, you know, more immediately or to a greater extent than what is the case elsewhere across the world. Plenty of challenges to contend with on top of the general inflation story.
And what's the situation in the Middle East and Africa? Saudi Arabia seems to be standing out.
Yeah, the Middle East and Africa has shown a lot more resilience, at least in the kind of aggregate perspective. And the latest figures for our headline index that we produce, that they're broadly unchanged between Q1 and Q2, meaning that they remain very much at the level that's indicating activity is still growing, still expanding. And that represents the strongest feedback on that kind of global comparison, at least across broad regions. So obviously for a long period predating the pandemic, the feedback in this region was more pessimistic than elsewhere. But I think probably linked to high oil prices, boosting the economies of some of the large producers. Our headline indicators are consistent with a solid upturn in the Middle East. If you look at some of the economic data coming out of Saudi Arabia, it shows that some of the biggest trade surplus that they've ever had or on record. So clearly, whereas these high oil prices are a real pain for the economies across parts of Europe, it's not the case for some markets in the Middle East. And so we have seen quite a turnaround in the fortunes there compared with even before the pandemic.
In North America, the rising interest rates and increasing inflation brought a shift in sentiment following some positive quarters. How much have things changed in the second quarter in this region?
Yeah, although I wouldn't say North America is the weakest region in terms of the survey feedback, I do feel it is where we've seen the most sudden or abrupt turnaround in sentiment. So last quarter, the United States data on investment inquiries was actually at its strongest since 2015. This quarter, the data indicates that growth has almost completely stalled. So there's a very strong contrast in the results, and kind of many responses allude to the action of the Federal Reserve. Of course, we saw another quite substantial increase in rates. And so that's really being highlighted as a factor weighing heavily on both the macro and market specific outlook. And the same can also be said for Canada. Significant tightening in monetary policy of late, with the prospect of more to come. That's really very widely cited to be one of the main drivers of this easing in momentum now. So I would say that although investment demand or growth in investment demand has flattened out, for the time being at least, capital value expectations do remain modestly positive, although it may not be too long before that changes given how swiftly we've seen a turnaround this quarter. But I would still mention that although demand growth is slowing, capital values still do show some positive expectations, albeit they've been scaled back.
So what should we expect in the second half of the year? Many specialists are talking about a recession happening next year. What is your view?
I think there is a very real risk of recessions emerging next year in several economies. It's not a guarantee, but I think past experience shows that given time, so whether it'll be next year or the slightly later, but given time, tightening in monetary policy is more often than not associated with economic recession. So I came across some really interesting research. It's conducted by Oxford Economics, but they examined kind of many periods of rising rates over the past 70 years. So it included data in the US, the UK, the Eurozone, and Japan. And they found that the number of tightening cycles that were accompanied by a recession actually outnumbered those with no drop in output by 2-1. And there was actually only one instance in 13 rate hike cycles, which were included in their sample, in which the headline pace of inflation had exceeded 7.5%, and yet a recession was still avoided. So I think given the sheer pace of inflation rates in several G7 economies right now, which probably haven't even peaked at this point, I think the current situation does seem quite ominous.
Turan, thank you very much for sharing all these insights.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening. And don't forget to follow CP's podcasts on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.